Blog Talk Radio.
Up inside.
the trombones respond, I'm gonna run over. So cancer responds, I'm gonna run over. So my family responds, I'm gonna run over. I wanna run over. I wanna run over. Fill me up till I overflow. Come on. I wanna run over. I wanna run over. Fill me up till I overflow. I wanna run. Oh, I wanna run over.
Amen, amen. Fill me up, Lord. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Worldwide Gospel Connection. First, give honor to God who's the head of our life. Get your pens and paper ready. There is a word from the Lord for Prophetess Angela. Sit back. Get ready to eat this morning spiritually. The scripture for this morning is Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Excuse me, Hebrews 11 and 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Remember, the number is 563-999-3628. First, want to speak off in prayer. This is a no judgment zone. God does not care about what you did last night nor this morning. All he wants is a simple relationship with you. You can start over right now just by giving him a yes. Yes, it's that simple. By giving him a yes. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not telling you that. But surrendering to him, he will show you and guide you where you need to go. Definitely want to give a shout out to all the countries that's listening in to Gospel Connection. United States, Canada, Brazil, Guyana, Nigeria, Zimbabwe, South Africa, China, Hong Kong, Germany, Bulgaria, Russia, Mexico, the United Kingdom, Paris, Japan, South Korea, India, and Ireland. We just picked up our list. Thank you guys for tuning in on a daily basis. Know that Apostle and I are always on this side of the globe praying for you. We know sometimes you can't overly praise and worship God, but we're interceding for you on this side. Remember, iron sharpens iron, and we're sharpening you up when you feel that you're getting dull. Don't get weary in well-doing. Keep standing on the word of God. God has you 100%. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He's right there with you. Hold on. That's why it's being so rough right now. The enemy's seeing your future. He know what you're capable of. Stand on the word of God. One day at a time, it'll get easier and easier. Having faith size of mustard seed, it will get easier and easier. If you don't have a relationship with God and you need to help get into a relationship with God, come on here and listen to us on Man Up Monday and Women's Day Thursday. So we are here to encourage and inspire you and uplift you. The guests that come on is on here to support you, lift you up, and push you where you need to be. It's birthing time, people, and somebody needs a midwife, and it could be you. And the people that come on here are prepared to help you to get to your destiny. Father, I wish you to come on here this morning and have your way. Less of the speaker and more of you. Let the speaker be able to touch your people where they need to be touched. We also ask you to continue to guide and cover everyone lined up on the show this morning. And we forever give you praise and honor in your precious name, Jesus. Amen, amen. Remember, the number is 563-999-3628. If you just need prayer, you don't have to say, you don't have to tell your name. We will touch and agree with you. This is a no judgment. And Apostle, I stand on that. You're not in this fight by yourself. You're not alone. The enemy wants you to think that you're alone. You're not alone. Open your eyes, put your heavenly salvation on, and let God cover you. All you say, you can hold your hands up right now and say, here I am, Lord. I need you. He's always been right there with you. He's never left you. In spite of what you think of what you've done, he's never left you. Your father is a king. Hold your head up, stick your chest out, and walk proudly in that you're a royal priestess. You're a beautifully, wonderfully made woman of God. If you're going through something, call in so we can pray for you. If you just need encouragement, call in and listen in and get encouraged. We all go through things. Nobody's perfect. But you are worth it. And don't you ever forget that. You are loved. And God will put all those broken pieces back together. We're going to go to a musical break, and we'll be right back. And remember, the number is 563-999-3628. Press 1 to speak, all to me, prayer.
Lift your hands in this atmosphere and say, I am grateful.
I am grateful for the things
that you have done. Look at him and tell him,
yes,
I'm grateful.
I'm grateful for
the victory
the
that we've won. Tell him I could go on and on.
About your works.
Because I'm grateful.
Praise you, Lord.
Lift your hands and say, flowing from my heart.
His only begotten Son. Understand today that whatever you're going through, God loves you and He cares.
I don't know why you gave your life for someone like me. You suffered, bled, and died. I've not always been faithful, at times I've gone astray. But Lord, I'm so thankful that you love me anyway.
You love me anyway.
Love me anyway.
You love me, Lord.
Love me anyway.
Whoa,
whoa,
whoa.
Love me anyway.
You love me anyway.
Love me anyway.
You love me anyway.
It belongs to me. Salvation belongs to me. And I have everything to make salvation complete. 'Cause I know the work is already done by the power of his blood. I know it's mine. It belongs to me. Makes my
Amen. It belongs to me. Amen. Amen. We're not going to prolong the time. The woman of God is on the line to give a word for you, just from the Lord. Prophetess Angela, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. How are you doing this great, awesome morning?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Good morning, woman of God. The floor is yours. I'm going on mute. Excuse me. I have my pen and paper ready to eat this morning spiritually. Go right ahead.
Good morning. Good morning, the peoples of God. Thank God for this great, awesome morning. But I just wanted to come on just for a few minutes just to bless somebody, just to let you know that God is still alive. God is truly blessing, still blessing on today. But I just want to just hit right here, right quickly, as in Luke 1 and verse 45, say, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promise to her. Somebody needs to know that God is still blessing. If God has given you a prophetic word, if God has gave you a promise, I want you to hold on to the promise. I want you to hold on to what God has spoken in your spirit. I know that sometimes life may come and take a twist in it, but I want you to know that you are worthy. God is still in blessing. I know that sometimes people say, I don't feel like God is going to bless me. It don't look like God is going to bless me. I know that he promised me. He told me that he was going to bless me. But let me tell you something. God is going to do what he said he's going to do if you hold on to the promise. Even though with tears in your eyes, if you hold on to the promise. Even though when you go through a bad situation, if you hold to the promise. Even if you go through a bad divorce, hold to the promise. Even when your children is acting out, you hold to the promise. Even when everybody else walk away from you, you hold to the promise. Because we see right here when Mary said, blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promise. Somebody needs to know if God has given you a promise, you hold on to that promise. Somebody needs to get in a hurry and hurry to get to tell somebody. You need to celebrate your faith today. You need to celebrate what God has promised you. Don't wait till it happens, but go ahead on and celebrate. Somebody needs to go ahead on and celebrate. If you got to celebrate all by yourself, you need to celebrate what God has promised you. You need to throw a birthday party, even though it is not even your birthday, but you need to go ahead on and have a birthday party. Because if God said he's going to fulfill what he said, he's going to fulfill what he promised you. Because we know sometimes when you look back at your life, and here you got two. Now, if we just go back into the scripture, you got two women. One was an outcast, one who couldn't bear. But God took the least and made it something. Come on. He took a little country girl like me and brought me to Houston, Texas. He turned my whole story around because I was faithful to the promise. I held on to the promise when it looked like it was no promise. Oh, somebody, come on, somebody. I held to the word of God and to what he has prophetic spoken over my life, even through the difficult times, even with tears in my eyes, going through a bad divorce, going through up and down relationship, going through people treat me any kind of way, going through people leaving me, and I don't even know why. But I want to tell some woman today, you are truly blessed. You are truly blessed and highly favored in the Lord. God has called you in the earth realm to go out and speak life over other women. Because even though another woman might not tell you that you have encouraged her, all you have to do is just look and see how her baby leaps when you walk out of the room, because now you have encouraged her to do things that you wouldn't even did. Oh, somebody needs to celebrate your faith on today. Somebody needs to know that God is still blessing, and you got to hold on to the word. I know the pandemic came, and it looks like, you know, you had a promise. God spoke a prophetic word over you, and now that the pandemic came and you looking at the word and you saying, but God, how can this be? Come on, somebody. God, how can this be when the pandemic has twisted everything around? God, how can this be when I have lost my job? God, how can this be when my children is acting all out of character? God, how can this be when everybody who was in the ministry have walked away? Oh, God, how can this be when my finances is telling me that my bank account says I'm in a negative? But I want to come and encourage you today. If God said it, he will fulfill his promise. You better do like Mary. You better put a song in your spirit. You better start singing out loud. You better let the devil know, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what I see, God has given me a promise. And if you got a promise, that's all you need. You can write a check on that and send it to the bank, because God will fulfill all that he said. I just come to encourage you today. Hang in there, peoples of God. celebrate your faith, celebrate your promise, celebrate, step out of the boat. Reminds me of Peter. Everybody always talk about how Peter looked off for a moment, but what Peter did, Peter stepped on the word. Peter stepped out on the word. Peter walked on the word. Who's going to walk on the word today? Who's going to be like Mary? You're getting hurt. You're going to see about somebody today. All because you know that God said it and God will do it. I just come to bless you today. I'm done, woman of God. I'm done. Be blessed. Be blessed, peoples of God. God is still doing what he said he was going to do. Be blessed, peoples of God. I love you all. Be blessed. I am dumb woman of God.
Amen. Amen. Celebrate. That's a word right there that we don't do in the body of Christ. We don't celebrate ourselves. He was so accurate with that this morning. Thank you again for coming on and giving that word. Father, I ask you to give back what your daughter gave out this morning to your people. Bless her tremendously. Cover her, Lord. Cover her family. Cover her husband. Send her where you need her to go, not where she wants to go in this season. Continue to let her know that she is more powerful than what she thinks she is. And continue to show her who she is in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Woman of God, let the people know how they can contact you if they want you to come out and speak, or if you have any businesses out. What do you do and how they can reach you?
Okay, I am a motivation speaker. I do go out and speak. They can reach me at dgministry@yahoo.com, or you can reach me on Facebook at Dream Girl Ministry. I also have a woman boutique. I sell clothes for women. You can also order that. You can visit my website at www.myamboutique.com.
Amen, amen. If anybody wants in contact with the woman of God and you didn't hear the information, you can inbox me at Worldwide Gospel Connection on Facebook, or you can text me at 832-519-7646. I would definitely connect you with Prophetess Angela. What a word this morning, woman of God. Thank you so much for coming on and being obedient to what God says. We're going to go to a musical break, and we'll be right back.
The truth can hurt you, or the truth can change you. What will truth do to you?
I just wanna be happy, but if I keep on doing the things that keep on bringing me pain, there's no one else I can blame if I'm not happy. Wasted time, but now I can see the biggest enemy, it was me, so I'm not happy. Cry yourself to sleep, shout and raise your hands. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
Preach.
If you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing,
but it only works
if you wanna be happy.
Look at yourself and say,
don't you wanna be happy?
Yeah.
I just wanna be happy. But if I keep on giving my heart for people to tear apart, the healing will never start. So I can be happy.
Yes, Lord.
Will I ever be happy? Cry yourself to sleep, shout and raise your hand. It won't change a thing, child, until you understand.
If I'm talking to you, then say,
if you're tired of being the same, if you're tired of things not changing, it's time for you to get out your way.
You've been there too long. This one right here.
It's so easy to complain. Addicted to the pain.
Yes.
You give your heart, they push
for you. If you're tired of you, then say,
I just wanna be happy.
Now, if you really mean that, open up your heart and say,
let me hear you say yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're tired of going in circles,
let me hear you say yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Tired of making the same mistakes,
let me hear you say yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Well, now's your chance.
Let me hear you say yeah,
say yeah,
yeah.
Are you ready? Come on!
Don't get stuck in how you feel. Take Jesus, take the wheel.
What are you doing?
He knows the road that you need to take.
It's so easy to complain. Long time, but I'm ready.
I just
want to
be happy.
Thank you, Lord. Every day, ask yourself,
do you want to be happy?
Yes. Pull over. Let him drive.
I just want to be happy.
Amen. Amen. The woman of God said, come on here and celebrate. So I got through. That would have been a perfect song to play this morning. Come on here and celebrate. Celebrate who you are. Celebrate being martyred. Celebrate being an ambassador for Christ. Celebrate knowing who you are. Celebrate yourself. If don't nobody else do it, don't you worry about it. As long as you're doing it and trusting God, it will be okay. Keep pushing, people of God. Keep pushing. And I'm telling you, it will get better. One day at a time, one step at a time.
Okay. Well, good morning. You may take your seats. It's a privilege to be with you again, to have the opportunity to be at Design for Life. I love gathering with you. I love the Lindell so much. I love this incredible church that sponsors this conference, and the amount of prayer, you can tell, can't you, that they've already been praying for us, planning for us, that they didn't just throw this together last night. There's been a group of people that really have been on their knees asking God to meet us in this place. And so I celebrate that. And I wonder, even if before we jump into just a few simple thoughts I want to share with you today, I wonder if you'd join me in celebrating the Lindells, in celebrating James River Church, in celebrating the volunteers, everybody who's been paving the way for us. We are so grateful. We're so grateful. No small task. I mean, how would you feel about hosting 10,000 women at your house? Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you that we get to be in your presence in worship. Thank you that we get to be amongst the people of God in your presence, Father. But also, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I pray that in these next few moments that we have together over a simple portion of Scripture, that you would do what only you can. Take this one simple message. Would you divide it about 6,000 or 7,000 different ways so that every single person in the room will know they have been in the presence of God this morning, that they heard your word. We're expectant, Lord. We're your daughters. We're sitting on the edge of our seat to hear what it is that you will speak to our hearts. It is in Jesus' name, the matchless name of Jesus Christ, the name at which every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. It is in that name that we pray. Come on, let the daughters of God say amen. Amen. As Savannah mentioned to you just a moment ago, I am the mother of three boys. That is my full-time job, trying to feed these people. I have giant children. I've got three giant boys. 14, he's getting ready to turn 15 in a couple weeks, and then I have a 13-year-old, and I have a 9-year-old, and y'all, they are just big, big old boys. My 14-year-old is 6'2", and wears a size 14 shoe. So I'm just trying to feed them. That is my whole life mission, is to try to figure out a new way to cook chicken for dinner every day so that I can get enough food into their bellies. And it is our joy to rear them and raise them, me and Jerry. I was thinking about something that happened with Jude and I, our youngest, Jackson, Jerry Jr., and Jude. Jude is our surprise boy. We still don't know how Jude got here. And I told you this before, but when I had him, he was our surprise boy, and we named him Jude on purpose because that's as close as I could get to Revelation, because it is finished. It's over. It's the end of the line. And I was sitting on an airplane with Jude. We were happened to be sitting looking out the window that was right over the wing of the airplane, and I could see my little boy. He must have been about 7 or so at the time. I could see him just sort of pensively staring at the wing of the airplane and considering it thoughtfully. And finally, after a few moments, he looked back over at me and he said, "Mom, how do they get that thing to stick on the plane? How do they get that thing connected? How do they make it stay?" Well, I looked back at him and answered the only way I knew how. I said, "But buddy, you can ask your Uncle Vaughn." Jerry's brother, their dad's brother, is Uncle Vaughn. And Vaughn happens to work in the airline industry. That's what he does, is he connects the wiring and the vanes that makes the pieces of the airplane stick together. So this was kind of a little teachable moment I was having with Jude. I said, "Listen, when we get back home, you got to talk to your Uncle Vaughn because he can explain this to you. It's really actually pretty exciting. I'm sure he can try to make sure you understand the nuances of how the wing gets on the airplane." And I thought I'd take it a step further, this conversation, and I said to him, "Jude, do you know that when you grow up, you can be anything in the world that you want to be? You do know that, right? Like, you can do exactly what your Uncle Vaughn does when you grow up if you want to. You know, if you want to be a doctor, you can be a doctor. If you want to be a lawyer, you can be a lawyer. If you want to be a singer, you can be a singer. You have so much potential, and you can do exactly what your Uncle Vaughn does when you grow up if you'd like to." He looked back at me and he said, "Mom, I don't want to do what Uncle Vaughn does when I grow up. I want to do what you do when I grow up." You know where you have that moment, your heart gets warm, your kid does something, and it just makes you want to melt and say, "Baby, just whatever you want. What do you want? I will do it for you today." And then in the next moment, it all comes crumbling down. Has that ever happened? So I looked back over at my boy and I said, "Oh, well, buddy, what does Mama do?" I had expectations about what his answer could be. I didn't know if he would say, "Mom, I would love to tell people about Jesus." I didn't know if he'd say, "I'd love to write when I grow up." I didn't know exactly what his answer would be. But he looked back at me and he said, "Mom, I want to do nothing when I grow up, just like you. You do nothing all day, every day you do nothing." I said, "Buddy, you see them clean clothes you got on today? How do you think you got those clean clothes? Or you know how you eat a homemade meal on a fairly regular basis. How do you think those meals are getting cooked?" He was like, "Well, you know, that's just like regular mom stuff." I said, "Buddy, do you know how every now and then I have the privilege to stand in front of a group of people and share God's word, and that means I have to study first. You know, every now and then there's a new book or a Bible study, and I have to write that thing." And he said, "Yeah, but you're just sitting behind the computer all day, every day, doing nothing." Now, I share this next part with you just to make a point. I hope that at least many of you will know me well enough to know that I just really want to make a point by sharing this part with you. Yesterday, or the day after I had this conversation with Jude, I thought the timing was interesting, that our publisher emailed me, sent me an email to keep me updated on something that she knows that I don't normally keep myself updated on. She wanted me to know that a little book I had written called Fervent several years ago, she wanted me to know that that book was on the New York Times bestseller list and that it had won several awards. That's what she emailed to tell me. She knows that, you know, when you're trying to feed three boys, you ain't got time to keep up with such things. And so she emailed me to let me know that. I appreciated the email, but I could only chuckle when I read it because I immediately thought back to my conversation with Jude the day before. That while I was doing what to him looked like absolutely nothing, I was actually crafting something that hopefully had amounted to something that had blessed people's lives. And I thought to myself how often it is that I consider my relationship with God in the exact same way, that I feel like God is doing nothing, that I'm praying and he's not hearing, my circumstances are not changing. I look at the details of my life and I feel like he is absolutely doing nothing all day, every day, disconnected from my life, when all the while, most often when we feel like God is doing nothing, y'all, he is crafting chapter after chapter with the story of your life. That he's fully engaged and fully invested in the details of all of our everyday living. He is never not doing nothing. I believe in the sovereignty of God. Somebody say sovereignty. God's sovereignty is one of his characteristics that I am most intrigued by. There are many, but I love thinking about the sovereignty of God. When you get a grasp on it, it really does give you a sense of rest and peace and stability in your life. God's sovereignty is his overarching orchestration of all that happens in time and eternity. God's sovereignty means that God existed before time began. That is pre-Genesis 1-1. Because y'all know the only reason why there was a Genesis 1-1 was because God was already there so that he could say, let there be, and there was. He was in eternity past. He has been there and done that. He has seen all of time from the beginning of the spectrum of time, Genesis 1-1, all the way through to the end of time, which you and I have not yet seen. And he has already been into eternity future. The entire spectrum of eternity and time, he's already been there and done that. But sovereignty does not just mean he's seen it all. Sovereignty means, listen, that the whole thing is in the palm of his hand. Sovereignty is what lets us do what Psalm 46:10 says. Be still. Chill out. Relax. And know that I am God. Providence is his overarching control of the throes of the universe. I'm sorry, sovereignty is his overarching control of the throes of the universe. But within that big umbrella of his sovereignty, there is providence. Providence is the working of the details of your life and mine. When we feel like he's doing nothing, when we feel like our days are just filled with regular 8-to-5 things, or when we run into tragedy or difficulty, providence is knowing that God is orchestrating the details of our days and our lives and our encounters and our opportunities, that he's actually ordering our footsteps. Providence is Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. I've got plans that are designed to give you a hope and a future. Providence is Ephesians 2:10, that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand. Providence means you can trust God with the stuff of your life because he's orchestrating it all. I love God's providence as seen throughout Scripture, that he shows up everywhere, even in the most unlikely places, even in the places when he seems, and the seasons of our life, y'all, when he seems most distant or most disengaged, that we can trust that when we can't trace his hand, we can trust his heart, that he's there, fully present, fully engaged, fully invested in the details of our life. That's what we get from Scripture, because he's everywhere. Even in the books of the Bible, you know, in Esther, the name of God isn't even really overtly mentioned, and yet he's there in the book, working and orchestrating all throughout the Scriptures, from the beginning to the end. It reminds us about the sovereignty and the providence of God. Right from the very beginning in Genesis, y'all, we see that he is the breath of life. In Exodus, he shows up as the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he is our high priest. In Numbers, he's the Savior. In 1st and 2nd Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, we see him as sovereign. In Ezra, he's the true and faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the one who rebuilds walls and he rebuilds lives. In Esther, he is our courage. In Job, he's the timeless redeemer. In Psalms, he's our morning song. In Proverbs, he is our wisdom. In Ecclesiastes, he's a time and a season. In the Song of Solomon, he's the lover's dream. In Isaiah, he's the prince of peace. In Jeremiah, he's the weeping prophet. In Lamentations, he's the cry for Israel. In Ezekiel, he's the call from sin. In Daniel, he's the stranger that will show up in your fire. In Hosea, he's the forever faithful. In Joel, he's the Spirit's power. In Amos, he's the strong arms that carry. In Obadiah, he's the Lord our Savior. In Jonah, he's the great missionary. In Micah, he's the promise of peace. In Nahum, he's our strength and shield. In Habakkuk and Zephaniah, he's the one that brings revival. In Haggai, he restores anything that has been lost. And in Zechariah, he is our fountain. And in Malachi, at the end of the Old Testament, we see him as the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. And that's just who he is in the Old Testament. Amen. Because you give them a little time, wait about 400 years, and then in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find out he's not just God, now he's your Messiah. And in the Spirit-filled book of Acts, he's the raining fire from heaven. In Romans, he's the grace of God. Corinthians, he's the power of love. Galatians, he's freedom from the curse of sin. In Ephesians, he's our glorious treasure. In Philippians, he's the servant's heart. In Colossians, he's God and the Trinity. In Thessalonians, he's our calling king. In Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, he's our mediator and our faithful pastor. In Hebrews, he's the everlasting courage. In James, he's the one who will heal you when you're sick. In 1st and 2nd Peter, he's our faithful shepherd. In John and Jude, he's the lover coming for his bride. And in the Revelation, in the very end, he was and is and will always be the first, the last, the beginning and the end. Amen. The scriptures remind us that he is always there, woven throughout every story. And as Debbie was so beautifully unwrapping for us the mystery of God, that sometimes it sounds to us, regular old girls like us, it sounds so big and so grand and so beyond us that we tend to disassociate our regular lives from that mystery. We can't imagine that a regular housewife like us or a corporate woman like us or that a single woman like us or a teenager in high school or college student in university, you can't imagine that someone with regular skills and regular talents and who lives in a normal neighborhood and works on a normal job, you can't imagine that you could fit into that mystery. And I came to tell you that the details of all of our regular lives are threads in the great, grand, huge, miraculous, glorious mystery of our great God. That there's nobody here that's removed, that is too far gone, that your story doesn't count in that mystery. There is a story in Scripture. I think they're going to put it on the screens. I'm going to read several portions of 1 Samuel chapter 9 to you, because this is not ever, to me, more clearly seen than in this one little portion of Scripture about the life of Saul. Saul, the one who would be the king of Israel. His story starts this way. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, I'm going to read several verses throughout this chapter. Listen. Verse 9 says, "Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish." That verse goes on to list all the lineage of Kish. And then it says at the end of verse 1 that he was a Benjamite, a mighty man of valor. Verse 2 says, and he had a son whose name was Saul. Listen to Saul's resume. He was a choice and handsome man. There was not a more handsome person than he among the sons of Israel. He stood from his shoulders up taller than any of the people. Verse 3. Now the donkeys of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. So Kish said to his son Saul, take with you one of the servants and arise, go and search for this donkey. Talk about a mundane, regular, ordinary old task. Verse 15. Now the day before Saul's coming, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel, the prophet. He had told Samuel, verse 16, about this time tomorrow, I'm going to send you a man from the land of Benjamin. And when he shows up, you shall anoint him to be prince over my people, Israel. And he shall deliver my people from the hands of the Philistines, for I have regarded my people because their cry has come up before me. Verse 17. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord whispered to him, hey, this is the one. It's the guy I spoke to you about. This one shall rule over my people. Verse 22 through 24. Then Samuel, he took Saul and his servant. He brought them to this great hall. He gave them a place at the head of those who were invited, who were about 30 men. And Samuel said to the cook, hey, remember that portion that I told you to set aside yesterday? Verse 24, this is the time. Bring it out. Set it before Saul. And Samuel said, here is what has been reserved. Somebody say it's been reserved for me. Here is what was reserved. Set it before you and eat, because it has been kept for you until the appointed time. It's amazing to me how sometimes it's just donkeys that are connected to destiny. Sometimes it's just the most regular, mundane assignment that we don't even recognize in the moment is actually the pathway to something bigger and grander that the Lord has allowed us to be included in the story that he is crafting in this generation. I have a tendency, you have a tendency, to despise the small things, the small little errands that we've been requested to run, the needs that arise in a regular daily life like yours and mine. In this case, there is a man named Saul. He has been described as distinct among all the people. He stands head and shoulders above them all. He is more handsome than them all. If he were to be on Instagram, we would definitely be following him, because he had perfectly lit selfies. Verse 2 tells us and shows us his selfies. He is choice. He is handsome. His resume is one for the record books. And yet, what is going to connect him to his God assignment, to his part of the mystery that the Lord is allowing his thread to be connected with in the bigger story that he has for his people, will not be how choice he appears in verse 2. It will be a simple, mundane errand that he's asked to run in verse 3. I love that verse 2 and verse 3 are so closely connected to each other. You know, I believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, meaning that I believe every T is crossed, every I is dotted as it should be. I not only believe that there are no errors in the Scripture, I actually believe that the placement of the books of the Bible as they are, and the verses as they are, the chapters as they are, that those are inspired as well. And so when I come across two verses that do something either contrasting or comparatively that draw my attention, I lean in carefully to see why the Lord would have placed these two particular portions of Scripture that closely connected to each other. That's why I'm drawn to the fact that in verse 2, we see Saul's resume. And in verse 3, we see a simple errand that he is humble enough that he is willing to submit all of the grandeur of verse 2 to be willing to run this mundane, ordinary errand in verse 3. It occurs to me that in most of our lives, we are riding on the coattails of our verse 2. We want people to be impressed with the way we appear on social media. We want to be savvy and flashy, and we're hoping that that will sustain us and carry us and include us in the bigger plans of God. That if we're gifted enough, if we're talented enough, if we stand head and shoulders above everybody else, or at least appear to, that will be what includes us in the plan of God. But in Saul's story, it's not verse 2, it's verse 3. His willingness to run a simple errand that connected him with the promises of God. I want to ask you, if you've been turning up your nose at the mundane, regular things that God has set before you to do, I want to ask you if you've ignored the simple details of your life, the errands that you've got to run, the dishes that need to get done, you know, the laundry that you washed and you dried, but it's just dumped out on the dining room table waiting for somebody to come and fold it. The dinner that needs to be cooked, the assignment that needs to be written, the details that need to be crafted throughout the regular course of your day just to make life work day in and day out. Sometimes we turn our noses up at those errands not realizing that sometimes it's the donkeys that lead to destiny. Sometimes it's the simple errands that we want somebody else to take care of because we were made for bigger and better things. We're riding on the coattails of our verse 2, and we don't even realize that that verse 2 is not the connection. It's not what God is looking for. It's the one who's willing faithfully and diligently to say yes, sir, to the assignment that is in front of them to do. Listen to me. You want to know what God's will is for your life? That's the question we have. What is God's will for my life? I want to know what God wants for me to do. And what we really mean when we ask that question is that we want to know what he has for us for the next 20 years. Isn't that what we want to know? We want to know 20.
My God, my God. The old scripture, the overcomer scripture is Romans 10 and 9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. All God wants is a yes with you. That one-on-one time with Jesus, you need to spend. You've been going through issues. You've been having problems, storm after storm. Keep going through. Don't fold. Surrender your life to Christ. No, it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. Give you 3 keys. Get your Bible, King James or NIV, to find your church home. You go online or if you go in physically, please be safe. You definitely want to join us at Abba House International this Sunday, 10, Sam Houston Parkway East at Stayrib Suites. 3, make sure the man or woman of God that you're under is not only preaching the word, excuse me, but they're walking the word. This is very critical for your life since you said yes to God. Remember, get your Bible, find your church home, and make sure the man or woman of God that you're under is preaching and walking the same thing. Remember, if you need blessed all, you can text me at 832-519-7646. You're not in this fight by yourself. Apostle and I are here to encourage, inspire, and uplift. That's the purpose of having a guest on, to help you get where you need to be. Keep standing on the God's word. Keep holding on to him, and he will guide you in the right direction. You guys have a blessed and phenomenal day. Know that God loves you, and we are here.